I'm Bob Franklin. This is Like It Is. Terry Healy is my guest. He is the author of At Face Value and the Resilience Mindset.
Thank you, Terry, for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Robert. I appreciate it.
How did a pimple nearly cost you your life?
Well, that's what the doctor originally thought it was. And even though I was only 20 years old, I was pretty certain it wasn't a pimple. I'd had a lot of those. So I followed the protocol, which was, hey, you know, use hot compresses and take Drixerol for 3 weeks. But I came back, and at that point, they realized it was something far more nefarious than that. And so that's when my journey began, and I was ultimately diagnosed with a really rare form of cancer called a fibrosarcoma, which typically does not occur in the head and neck area. So that was what made it also complicated. But yeah, so got the diagnosis, and then I had a recurrence 6 months later that really resulted in sort of what changed my life and started my journey, if you will.
Well, I want to talk about your journey, but I'd like to have you go a little further into once receiving a doctor prognosis, what was the treatment like? Talk about that.
Okay. So when they did get the diagnosis, they said, you know, this is a very rare type of cancer. It's very aggressive, but we've caught it in the early stages. So we feel that we just need to go back in and do surgery to clear all the margins fairly aggressively. So I was fortunate that I got referred at that point to UC San Francisco, and they did the surgery and felt that there was no more treatment necessary at that point, no more radiation or no radiation, no chemotherapy. It had not metastasized. And I was sent on my way to live life and to check back in 6 months or so and see where things stood. So that's originally what happened, and then I had a recurrence.
So I want to talk about, as you're going through this, what was your state of mind? How was that, your state of mind, grappling with the prognosis and all of that, and then going through the treatment? What was your physical, emotional state of mind?
Well, originally, I think that when I was referred to UC San Francisco, I really liked this new doctor, and he was very he was a very confident guy. He had a great pedigree, and I also realized that, hey, you know, this guy's pretty confident that he can catch this thing, but I also had a foundation of faith that I relied on quite a bit at that stage of my life. And so I had enough information to know that this could be potentially something really scary. So I resorted to prayer. That gave me a lot of hope through that process. And that, you know, otherwise though, I sort of felt that I was okay. I was in good shape and I could go about and live my life again because, hey, I'm 21, I'm invincible, right? And so that's originally sort of how I led my life before the recurrence.
You said when you no longer recognize yourself in the mirror, you're forced to find different ways to feel good about yourself. What were different ways you learned to feel good about yourself?
So, yeah, so now I think you're talking about after I had the recurrence and the radical
yes.
work that was done. Yeah, so maybe I step back for a quick sec to lead into that. I when I had the recurrence, it resulted in the removal of half of my nose, the shelf of my right eye, the muscle and the bone from my right cheek, part of my upper lip, part of my hard palate, six of my teeth. And I woke up attached to my chest because they had transplanted a full thickness skin graft. So at that point, life looked very different for me. Not only was it life threatening, but I also had lost what I looked like. And so that began the process of trying to figure out really how I could come to terms with what I was seeing in the mirror.
Are you an eternal optimist?
I would say that I've always practiced positive, mindful positivity, I should say, which I think starts with gratitude, Robert. And I've lived that life since I was young, and I still do to this day, because I always felt that there's, despite whatever's going on, there's always so much to be grateful for. So that positive mindset really helped propel me through the lowest and darkest moments. So I think I'm a realist, but I also do rely on positivity to keep me going, and realizing that, hey, things could be a lot worse. If you start with gratitude, it's much easier to put yourself in a positive place.
Let's talk about that positive place and how you share it with audiences and individuals that you talk to about facing adversities. Talk a bit about, you know, your message to audiences about facing adversities and how to overcome those adversities.
Yeah, so I kind of for myself, Robert, put together my own survival kit that I lived with, that helped me stay positive and continuing to move forward. And that included, I talked about my religious faith. I surrounded myself with people that I felt were really positive, people that I could trust. I practiced mindful positivity. We talked about that. And group therapy was really instrumental. Finding the courage to share my vulnerabilities was so important in the process. And then another form of kind of positivity was positive imaging and visualization. And so what I did, Robert, is I, as I spoke to audiences, they would come up to me afterwards and they would say, "Hey, we know your story now, but you also, and it's in your book. We, you know, I've read your book, At Face Value," which was my first book. And they say, "You know, understand your memoir and the story that you went through, but what you talk about and share in your talks is more prescriptive to help other people deal with any kind of adversity they might be confronted with." So what I did is I put together my own framework. I packaged it in a way that was more prescriptive for my audience and for other people dealing with change, dealing with adversity or challenges in their own lives. And I call that today REBAR. And REBAR is really an acronym for the four phases of my resilience framework. And the idea behind that is really, once again, to help people understand that this REBAR framework is just like REBAR, right? It's going to give you the strength and the reinforcement to help you get through the day-to-day challenges of any kind of major adversity. And so, you know, I can talk about those four phases, or if you'd like.
I do want you to, because we're talking about those four phases: reflect, build, act, renew. Speak upon those.
Yeah. So, you know, my belief, Robert, is that everybody has a capacity to build resilience. You know, we do learn to adapt, we recover from setbacks, and we do grow stronger from our experience. So this four-phase process, reflect, is really about taking that time every day by yourself, for yourself, to reflect on your day and start with gratitude, because that puts you in a positive place, puts you in a positive mindset. And then the idea is that what I recommend is that people take, do an audit of their day. Think about what transpired during the course of their day. What did they learn? Did they learn anything today? Were they inspired by anything? If they were inspired by something, is there something that they can apply to their lives tomorrow? And so that's really the idea behind reflection. The second phase, build, is when you begin to build that positive, develop that positive mindset, develop a growth mindset. You do that by thinking about things that will enable that, which might be faith for some people. For others, it's just building a strong support system and figuring out how you're going to find work-life balance and outlets in your life. But mostly, Robert, the most important thing in this phase is choosing positive, because we choose our attitude. We have a choice. We can choose to be positive, or we can choose to be negative. If we choose positivity, it makes it makes navigating life's challenges much easier when you're optimistic and positive instead of uncertain or having fears. The third phase, ACT, is really where the rubber meets the road. So that's the point, and that's the stage where you begin to face challenges. You start to take control, you get focused, and you set goals. And so this is execution mode. This is where the most of the various methods are available for people to look at and choose from in my book, because that's really, there's a lot of options for people to choose. It's not one size fits all. So as you act, you start to make progress toward overcoming that adversity and reflect. That final phase is really when you step back and you think about what you learned from the adversity. Because if you've reached this point, you've survived. So celebrate your wins. That helps build confidence and self-esteem. Think about the traits and characteristics that you embody that enabled you to deal with this. Celebrate those confidence building characteristics. But most importantly, it's to step back and say, what did I learn? How can I become a better version of myself? And so the idea behind the framework, Robert, is that I incorporate questions throughout each phase so that people can answer those questions along their own personal journeys, so it's applicable to them and they can take away something that's actionable for their own situation.
Well stated. Just curious, has your sarcoma cancer journey, was it a gift in disguise, or how would you frame it?
It's a great question. A lot of people ask me, if you could take it back, would you? And the answer is no. I would go through the experience again. I wouldn't wish it on my own worst enemy. But yes, it's a gift in disguise because I think what I learned from it, Robert, were really three key things. One is gratitude. And I mean that from day one when I woke up with all that tissue removed from my face. The first thing I could think of was that they saved my eye. I was grateful for that. But gratitude is something we gain from major adversity. The second thing is life perspective, right? It puts everything into perspective. You start to understand what's important in life, what matters. And then the third thing is we become more empathetic as a result of adversity because I think we understand a little bit more about what we went through and maybe to be more empathetic toward other people who may be going through their own challenges and adversities in life.
Your book, The Resilience Mindset, talk a bit about that. What was the inspiration for that particular book?
Yeah, so it spawned from really the talks that I gave to my audiences. I touched on this a minute ago, but I would share my personal story and then I would talk about tools and methods for others to employ in their own lives. And so what happened was people would come up to me after the talks and say, "Hey, you should write another book. You should write a workbook. You should write a how-to book, whatever you want to call it, a self-development book, something that can help other people in a way that's prescriptive, based on how you learn to survive through your own ordeal." And so that's really why I wrote it, and it was something that was a long time coming. I'm grateful that I finally got the time to sit down and put it together. And so it's really that, and it's also a story about my own adversity as well as many other people who overcame insurmountable obstacles, seemingly came out the other side. And we all have, there's a common thread, right? I think we all the people I profile have a common thread in terms of, I think, what we learn from our adversity and how grateful we are for it. So it's, again, it's not to wish anything on anybody. It's to say, be prepared. Get ready for the inevitability of something, anything coming your way, and just, have a prescriptive plan for how you're going to approach that, and why not share what I learned and what others learned along the way.
You are a graduate of UC Berkeley,
Yes.
and you have really consulted with quite a few organizations here, but I just note that you have represented a consultant with the University of California, Berkeley football team. What was the message or the message that you shared with them or the advice that you gave to them?
Yeah, great question. How that came together, it started with a sponsor who was the quarterback of the football team at the time. And we had talked about the importance of trust, building trust on the team. They had, in that particular year, a lot of superstars, I would say, guys that ended up going to the NFL. But they also had plenty of guys that weren't going to go to the NFL. And so it became about, you know, let's leverage each other's strengths. Let's learn to trust one another. And let's take control of what we have control over, which is our attitude, which is our planning, which is our practice, and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's how it came together. And then he proposed it to the head coach. And so I went in there, and this was during preseason. And I would say those key messages that we talked about were really talking through my story and sharing the importance of taking control, the importance of building a team of people that you trust, and dealing with adversity along the way. You know, you're gonna have ups and downs throughout the season. You're gonna have injuries. You're gonna have wins and losses and disappointing losses. So how do you bounce back and learn from that and develop that growth mindset?
There's common inner monologues that stand in the way of our own happiness. How to reframe your negative inner monologue? I think that's an interesting point and would love to hear your comments.
The question was about reframing?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I think there's a few ways to answer that. One is that I think we always have to remember that any difficulties that we're encountering, any adversities that we're encountering, it's really important to reframe in the sense of saying, hey, this is not permanent. This is temporary. This is a detour. What am I going to learn from this that's going to make my life better when I get through it? So that's one form of reframing. Another is that I think a lot of people have what I would call negative self-talk. And so I'll give you an example. You might say, I can never do this. This is impossible. There's no way I can get through this. And the inverse to that negative thought is sort of positive self-talk, which is that, you know what, let me step back, reset, and take a different approach. Maybe there's another way that I can approach this. And so there's always an inverse, I would say, to a negative point of view or a negative thought. And there's always a positive approach that you can take. And so those are some of the things I mean by reframing.
Also, there's a question here, a statement. Why everyone needs their own theme song to power them through tough times. Now, I would just say, as a point of personal privilege, a couple of theme songs that I would choose would be the theme to the movie Chariots of Fire.
Okay.
As well as Frank Sinatra, My Way. What say you?
That's great. Chariots of Fire is a good one for sure. I think it's important to find a theme song, something that whatever it is about that song just kind of propels you in a positive direction somehow, right? When you're down, you listen to it and it pumps you up. And so for me, it was a song that I heard as I left UCSF Hospital in San Francisco and was just told that, you know, essentially half my face might be removed. And I really wasn't prepared for that. So we're driving across the Bay Bridge and on comes this song that I had not heard before called Never Surrender by Corey Hart, who's a Canadian songwriter and musician. And you can imagine what those words were in a song called Never Surrender. But I listened to them and that became my theme song. And I think it's great to have something like that, because probably like you, Robert, if you're talking about those two songs that you mentioned, that's been with you a long time. And Mine Stays With Me is my theme song. I haven't replaced it. I still play that song.
Well, I'll admit to you that that stays on my particular iTunes. It stays in
All
my
right.
mind. I think it's been, those songs have been with me for about 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And whenever I'm in a low place and I need inspiring, I will play Frank Sinatra and listen and just actually follow the words and listen to the music, because the words are as inspiring as
Yeah.
his voice delivering the song. And Chariots of Fire, as we know, is just an instrumental, but it's about overcoming
Yeah.
adversity,
Absolutely.
triumph. And that song always picks me up.
Absolutely.
As well as this interview speaking with you, Terry Healy is my guest. He's the author of A Pimple Nearly Killed Me and The Resilience Mindset. And we got some minutes left, Terry, and I want you to share some thoughts about an individual out there who may see your book and might want to pick it up and read it. What would you say would be the most compelling part of your book for this person to concentrate on? If not the whole
Yeah.
book, but a section.
Yeah, I would say the main message I would say is that, you know, we do all have the capacity to build resilience. And sometimes people are at their lowest point and think that they don't have the ability to bounce back. Things are so tough right now. But that's what I hope they get from it, is that they can learn some of the methods and the tools that I leverage and others leverage to keep hope alive, right? Because that's really what's essential. You need to keep hope. And there's a lot of ways to keep hope. But my book, you know, may not have a bunch of brand new concepts in it, right? These are just things that I've packaged together in a way that I really think, if somebody sinks their teeth into it and tries to read through it, they will walk away with some nugget that they can apply to their life to improve it.
I'm sure there are many take-home messages in your book. If you were speaking to a global audience and you had the ear of a global audience, would you say a similar type of message that you just shared?
I would. Yes, I would.
And that would be because?
And that would be what?
Why would you share that particular message with the global community? If all the world was listening, why would the message that you just
Yeah.
shared be important?
Because I think, you know, in our community here, you and I are both in the San Francisco Bay Area. In our community, we're very insulated and protected, yet we still have problems. We still have adversity. We still have struggles. But I think we're also very blessed and fortunate where we live, where we are, the country we live in terms of the fact that we are safe, for the most part, right? Compared to the rest of the world. And I think we always have to remind ourselves and put life into perspective, because people around the world live in much more difficult situations day to day. Many people are in survival mode for their entire lives, and they're just trying to stay above water. And so I think it is the same message. I think that we just sometimes, you know, make simple things into big misfortunes in our own backyards here. Things that are really challenging for some people are not for others. And so I think that basic survival is a big deal for many people. And so that's what I want to deliver, is something that gives hope.
Well stated. I consider myself a guy who sees the glass as always half full, and I believe that you as well are an eternal optimist.
I guess you could say that.
Okay, then I'll say it. Thank you so much, Terry Healy. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Robert.
My guest today was Terry Healy, author of At Face Value and the Resilience Mindset. During our interview, Terry mentioned that Corey Hart's song, Never Surrender, was his theme song. I'll trail out with Never Surrender by Corey Hart. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Just a little more time is all we're asking for. 'Cause just a little more time could open closing doors. Just a little uncertainty can bring it down.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.